Blog Talk Radio.
Baruch Hashem, this is Mark Lichtenwalter coming to you live on this 12th day, I think it is. Yep, 12th day of August 2018. Guest caller number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. And today we are going to be starting a new pamphlet by Ogden Kraut, which you could read along with us at ogdenkraut.com. And just click on Read Ogden's Books and then scroll down to Pamphlet Set 2. And it's the last pamphlet in this book. So we will finally be getting through and done with this book. I'm going to post the link to the radio show. Let's see here. In Zion's Redemption Bookstore on Facebook. It's my page on Facebook, and I will also post the text to whatever we get done reading today on that post. Anybody can go and read that if they would like. And I try to post all of the text to each thing that we read on that specific site, and then also share it among different groups. So some of my groups, the two main ones are LDS Last Days, Prophecy, and Gospel Discussions, and also LDS Gospel Mysteries, so you can find my posts there and comment or whatnot. So anyway, let's get into, let's see here, I want to post it on my wall as well. Anybody who wants to follow me on Facebook, that's pretty easy. You just type in Mark Lichtenwalter, that's L-I-C-H-T-E-N-W-A-L, T-E-R, or you can find it easy enough at facebook.com/LAZURUS1977. So without any further ado, let's get right into this last pamphlet. It is Prayer by Ogden Kraut. It was originally written in June of 1986. The contents to this specific pamphlet, our introduction, learning to pray, blessings from prayer, return to God, God's will, and conclusion. Starting with the introduction. A soldier lies wounded and suffering. His life blood spills out upon the ground, and though his eyes are closed, his lips continue to move. His soul is reaching to its creator in a final repose. In the delivery room of a hospital, a woman cries through the pains of childbirth. She pleads to God for relief of her agony in bearing the child. Her body and soul are taxed in pain, bringing the focus to the cries of relief to the great eternal. A frenzied mob drag their victim to the martyr's post. Strong cords bind his arms and legs to the funeral pyre as they spark the flame of death. The golden tongue of fire creeps up towards its victim. The martyr raises his head within the veil of smoke and peers into the heavens. His words reach beyond the howls of mortals as he begs God for forgiveness. Then he commits his spirit to him who gave it. Even the story of Jesus, or Yeshua, cannot be told without Gethsemane. Who knows what sorrow, what pain, and what torment of soul Jesus paid in the garden? No one knew, not even the apostles. They all slept. But the sufferings of Jesus are to this day remembered by the blood that came from every pore. Yet while he bled, he suffered, and while he died, his voice was in prayer. So different are the pains and sorrows and the deaths of men, yet so much remains in common. In all cases, at the final hour of trial, the humble and great and the brave find peace with their God in prayer. If then such noble examples are left for us to follow, how faithless, how neglectful and how shamed we must feel. Certainly, when we must devote ourselves more diligently to the study and practice of this divine spark within our souls called prayer, prayers and offerings and expressions of our desires and feelings to God, they are offered for things that are needful or in gratitude for the things received. Prayer is the monitor between us and our Maker. We may offer prayers vocally, mentally, publicly, or privately for ourselves, our families, or our friends. They help us to obtain the good things, or else that we might remove the evil things. We must pray sincerely, consistently, and with faith, and most important, through the direction of the Holy Spirit. Messiah, or Christ, was the greatest example of righteousness, and no better example can be found of a prayerful being. He left us this example, quote, showing that we can overcome, it's not a quote. Anyway, showing that we can overcome and again be in His presence with the Father through the means we offer our confessions, our petitions, and seek the direction we should follow to make this return to the Father. Prayer becomes the spiritual compass to our souls. Prayer is often referred to as the soul's sincere desire in the simplest form of speech. And as a young son asked his father for the things which he has need, so we ask our eternal Father for the things that we need. As we receive these things, we should offer up a prayer of thanksgiving, gratitude, and adoration. Prayer should be a pattern in our lives, a habit, yes, but rather a desire than a duty. It should be a precious privilege, knowing that it will be a source of blessing upon our home, our land, our income, our health, and upon all things we hope to be or have. It can be a source of power upon our possessions as well as our friends. If we do all we can do in the attitude of prayer, then God will honor our efforts and aid us the rest of the way. In prayer, then, we learn to trust God, and as the prophet Joseph Smith said, quote, when we have confidence in God, He will have confidence in us. It's kind of like what I say a lot, and well, I guess I haven't said it for a while, but, you know, the more time we spend with God, the more time He'll spend with us. The more time we open our scriptures and ponder and pray and seek guidance, confirmation of the Holy Spirit, and revelation concerning the correct interpretation of Scripture, the more time God will spend with us. Anyway, back to the text. Learning to pray. Teach us to pray, said the disciples of Jesus. Even they saw the need to better know how to pray. An item of our religion, which requires more duty than perhaps all others, is certainly one which we should properly and more perfectly become qualified to practice. We should have a blessing upon our food at each meal. A family prayer should be morning and evening, and then to these add our own personal prayers. So in the scriptures it says that we should pray always. Well, it's kind of hard to do, right? Well, a hymn is a prayer unto God. Well, I just happen to like modern, you know, prayers, modern hymns, like, you know, contemporary stuff like Mercy Me and Jars of Clay and Third Day and all these different, like, Christian groups. I love them. And I think it's funny because, like, you'll find artists who are, you can find them at Deseret Book or Siegel Book and Tape, and they are LDS artists, and they kind of play the music in an LDS way, but they use the same lyrics, right? And, like, I don't agree with all lyrics coming from these Trinitarians, but we can use those lyrics to make a prayer unto God and to keep our minds focused on Him and His gospel and what He has done for us in our lives. And this just brought this up. So anyway, continuing. This amount to about prayers every day in normal pattern of duty, yet how often saints will neglect them all. You know, it's funny. I used to, I take a shower minimum of twice a day. Take a shower when I get home from work or when I'm done, like, out and whatever, and I'm going to go to bed, because I don't want my sheets to get dirty with my sweat and dirt and whatever else is that I've been doing that day, right? So I will take a shower, and then when I wake up in the morning, whenever my morning is, tonight it will be about 6 or 7 p.m. tonight when I wake up, because it's 11 a.m. now. I will take another shower, and that helps me get dressed. It helps me not get dressed, but, like, wake up and, like, comb my hair, because I need water to get this bad boy to calm down and comb it into its, you know, so it's not all over the place. Anyway, but it helps. So I take a minimum of two showers a day. Why am I bringing up my showering habits? Well, it's because when I'm done showering, I will put my towel down on the ground after I've dried off. And my shower is big enough to do this. Not my shower, but my bathroom. Anyway, and I'll put it down, kind of like the Muslims do with a prayer rug. And I will pray to God at that point. And I've had this practice for years and years. Well, this year, and probably last, I haven't been doing this as much, and I've been neglecting because I'm so busy. I mean, every minute of my day is taken up, and like it's actually kind of difficult to actually spend the time to do the podcast or the radio show, you know. And that's, I think that's partly Satan's distractions. You know, he's got me doing other things and trying to keep me distracted so I don't do this. But I haven't been praying like I used to. And I've noticed a difference in my life. A big difference. The more time I spend with God, the more He reveals to me and shows me. And just as much as I enjoy praying and spending time with Him, I think He enjoys spending time with me when I'm in prayer. Because it's kind of funny. So I was driving along one day a couple weeks ago, and I got this song stuck in my head. And I don't listen to a lot of music, not really. I mean, I used to listen to more Christian music. Sometimes I like to listen to some of the old stuff that I used to listen to when I was a teenager. You know, secular music is not the greatest. And then I love listening to messianic Christian type music and contemporary Christian music. But sometimes I hear songs that are secular. And, you know, I kind of like some of them, like Taylor Swift, like Maroon 5. They're catchy, right? And I don't know who or where this song comes from, but it goes something like this. We don't talk anymore. We don't talk anymore. We don't talk anymore like we used to do. And that song kept on going through my head as I'm driving. I'm like, why is this song stuck in my head? And then Heavenly Father spoke to me. In my mind, it wasn't an audible voice, but He made it very clear. We don't talk anymore like we used to do. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I've been so distracted lately. I haven't been coming to You, and I will try to change that. you know, he wants to spend time with us. He wants us to spend time with him. He wants to reveal so much to us. And it's because of our own false traditions that sometimes he can't. And he told me once when I was on a drive down to from San Antonio down to Brownsville to pick up a load of watermelon or fruit cups. I can't remember. I was headed to Hidalgo, and you can find that on the – it's like on the border. The warehouse that I picked up from was like across the street and through a field was a fence, and that was the border. Like seriously, as far down as you can go – is where I, you know, by McAllen, Texas. And I was headed down there, and I was listening to, and I've been a truck driver for years, so, you know, that's what I was doing. And I was listening to Catholic radio and Protestant radio on my way down, and I was like, Heavenly Father, what about these? You know, like, I was listening to this stuff, and they were bringing up a lot of really good points, you know. And he told me that he wanted to share more with them, but because of their false traditions, they damn themselves. And it's not like they're damned to hell, but they like stop their progression because of their false traditions. But as we spend time with him in his scripture and seek for revelation, we get the correct interpretation and he can open up that way so that we can come to him and come to his truth. I've heard so many pastors and ministers, you know, praying, you know, help guide me and all this, but then they don't actually ever go to him and find out if what they're teaching is true. And I think that's one of the most important things that we can do is learn how to receive revelation, and that comes by prayer and study and pondering and asking God for confirmation of the Holy Spirit. Satan's biggest tool is distracting us from spending time with God. In our busy lives, in the 24 hours that we have, it is difficult sometimes to spend time with God in prayer. But you know, in your commute, you can listen to podcasts like this. You can listen to Christian music or Mormon Tabernacle Choir or whatever it is. But anything that brings you to a spiritual level and out of the carnal temple nature and spend time with God and praise him. And praise means to lift him up. And worship, and worship means to humble yourself and bow down before him. And that's the Hebrew understanding of those two words. But we can spend time in our vehicles, in our jobs, in our lives, cultivating that time of prayer. In the scriptures it says pray always. Anyway, I'm going off on tangents like I always do. Let me get back to the text. Just in case anybody is listening, you can call in. Guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. Continuing with the text. This frequent practice of prayer in our lives should be exercised in a correct and pleasing manner to the hearer. For there are many incorrect paths or ways to pray. There are no schools or universities that give an education in the function of prayer. We must learn by example and experience. Jesus taught the disciples to begin a prayer by addressing our Father who art in heaven. We must first learn that it is our real Father, the Father of our spirits, that we appeal to. And like, you know, it drives me nuts because everybody, like, there's so many Trinitarians out there, and they think the Father is the Son and the Holy Ghost, all whatever. And, okay, first of all, Stephen looked up as they were stoning him and saw the Father and Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. How in the world is Jesus the Father? Trinitarians. out there. You must have a correct understanding of our Father in heaven and the difference between our Father in heaven and his only begotten Son in the flesh, Yeshua ben Yosef, Yeshua HaMashiach, or Yeshua our Messiah. By the way, there was never, still is not any Jesus in the Hebrew mindset. There's no J's. Yosus is Greek. Yosus, Greek. So Yeshua was his name that Gabriel told Joseph or Yosef and Miriam, Mary, to name his, to name Yeshua. And it means salvation, or Yehoshua means Yehovah saves. We must have a correct understanding, and he forgives us for our foolishness. He understands why we may not understand certain things, and there is a certain level of forgiveness and tolerance for ignorance. But the more time we spend with him and the more we seek him, the more he will reveal to us. And if we can continue to do that, there should be no reason why there's all these different denominations. In Ephesians it says one God, one faith, one baptism. But because people don't pray and seek revelation, they teach for doctrines the commandments of men, not understanding the things of God. And that happens way too often. Anyway, and Moses, he taught that God wanted all of his children to be prophets. In James 1:5, if you lack wisdom, ask God, and he will give you the wisdom that you need. If you're persistent, if you study things out and you go to him over, I need to get back to the text. I just feel like this is kind of one of the things that God has called me to teach the people, that we can be prophets ourselves and we do not need to rely on other people to know truth. Anyway, he is as concerned for our welfare as any mortal father could be. And I'm sorry, he's more concerned for our welfare than our fathers are, especially my biological father. I haven't spoke to him except for a funeral, I think, in 2008. But our Father in heaven loves us more fully than our fathers on earth, especially my father and my wife's father. But they're mortal. They are fallible beings. Our Father, when I've been in his presence, in dreams, visions, or actually in his presence, because I have been in his presence and spoken with him face to face, his love and his concern for us is so overwhelming. The power, his power, his true power is in his love for us. And if we can understand that love, we would understand why he does what he does. Sometimes he does things and we're like, and in the Old Testament especially, why is he doing this? It's because of his love for his obedient children. But he is also long-suffering and patient to those who are not obedient, because he does truly love us all, even if sometimes we don't love him back. He is as concerned for our welfare as any mortal father ever could be. He looks upon us with divine compassion and perfect love, and I testify that is absolutely true. He wishes only that we pay him the proper respect as a father. God will always answer our prayers properly and see that we have that which is most needful in our lives. Jesus, or Yeshua, said, quote, "Would a father give a son stone for bread?" End quote. How much more, this is an end quote. How much more then would our Heavenly Father show his affection and concern for our eternal welfare and salvation? I guess that was an end quote. Anyway, learning to pray is much easier in youth. To learn this principle while still very young is important. For as a twig is bent, so shall the tree be inclined. Nearly all great prophets and leaders have been faithful to God for their, I like to say Hashem, that's the Jewish way to say Father or God without actually saying the name of God, Yehovah, or some people think it might possibly be Yahweh. I tend to go with Jehovah. It just feels, or not Jehovah, Yahovah, because, you know, it's been found over 1,000 times in the ancient manuscripts with the vowel pointings. In Hebrew, in ancient Hebrew, all they had was consonants. That's not entirely true, though, because the consonants, there are like 4 or 5 that can be used as a vowel even before the Masoretic texts, you know. But in our modern Hebrew, modern speaking of after the death of Jesus or Yeshua, we have vowel points. They knew that because of the dispersion of Israel that they were going to have to put these vowel points in so that people could still read the text. Because in the yeshivas in Jerusalem, in Israel, or Judea, they taught in the yeshivas what the text meant. So you didn't have to have these vowel markers. But because of the dispersion, the rabbis realized, you know, we're going to have to, like, put these out there and allow people to copy these Torah scrolls down and have them go out to the different synagogues and even amongst the Christians, you know, but the Masoretic text, they decided to create vowel points besides the ones that in the Hebrew alphabet that can also act as vowels. So we know how to pronounce the name, which they tried to hide because they didn't want people uttering the ineffable name of God, you know. But they wanted people to have the texts and to be able to read them. And like the word for fire in Ezekiel, where it talks about the lead fire, you know, basically talking about nuclear missiles, like the word there can also mean woman. You know, and like it's because of the consonants that, and like not having the vowels, like in order to read the Hebraic texts in that day and age, you had to go to a yeshiva and be taught by a rabbi who had been taught what these words mean. And it wasn't until after the fall of the temple and the dispersion of Judea that they actually went in and put vowel markers and everything, and that's how we have the name Yehovah. Anyway, 60 seconds left in the live streaming portion of the radio program. If you are listening and you want to listen to the rest, you must call in 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. Or you can read this when I am done. It'll archive to the podcast on blogtalkradio.com. And I will post the text on my page, Zion's Redemption Bookstore, on Facebook. So you can listen to it, or you can just read what we got through in this program. So 10 seconds left. Anyway, learning to pray is much easier in youth. To learn this principle while still very young is important, for as a twig is bent, so shall the tree be inclined. Nearly all great prophets and leaders have been faithful to Yehovah from their youth, such as one was Samuel. And we read, the child Samuel grew on, and I'm talking about Samuel the prophet, and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. Because Samuel's faith in Yehovah, the Lord or Yehovah called Samuel and answered, and Samuel answered, "Here am I." And soon all Israel, from Dan even to Bathsheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of Yehovah. And later Yehovah appeared again in Shiloh, for Yehovah revealed himself to Samuel. The faith and righteousness of Samuel were a positive influence and a great example in the life of young David, son of Jesse. The boy shepherd spoke in faith when he heard of Goliath and said, "Who is this Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living Yehovah," or Elohim, living God? When none would contest him, David said that he would go and Yehovah would deliver him out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, and he will deliver me out of the hands of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, "Go, and Yehovah be with thee." Thus is established the faith and integrity of youth when properly trained in prayer to their God. Every parent has a duty and privilege to teach their children faith in Yehovah and how to pray to him. It becomes a pleasure to youth, and they enjoy the experience. From youth are men made, and if we train up a child in the way he should go, when he becomes old, he will not depart from it. It becomes a staff and a stay to his mortal life, giving him blessings of joy and righteousness. No greater responsibility rests upon the parents, nor can any greater reward come from such teachings. Through prayer, the family stays together and enjoys a deeper filial love for each other. It gives them a divine protection and a guidance throughout their lives. One of the most important blessings in life is obtaining a testimony of Yehovah, or God, Yehovah our Elohim. Each time we pray and the prayer is answered, it strengthens our testimony. That's true. Each problem in life should be met with prayer. Absolutely. But we need to not worry about being commanded in all things, because if we sit on our butts and wait to get revelation on every little thing, that's a slothful servant. God has other things to do. You know. So make your decision up and tell him what you're going to do, and then do it if you don't get a withdrawal of the Holy Spirit, which I hate it when that happens, but I'm happy at the same time, because that's God's way of telling me that what I believe or what I'm doing is not right. Right? Okay. Anyway. Soon we are able to champion the greatest problems through faith and prayer. In every learning process, there are hindrances. And this is true as well in learning to play. Sin keeps men from prayer, just as prayer will also keep men from sin. So a person guilty in his conscience may say to himself, "I am not worthy to pray, and or even try to be religious. I'm not worthy to pray or even try to be religious, end quote. Thus, the devil gains his first foothold into a man's soul. When we begin to doubt the Lord's power, when we begin to doubt the Lord's power or Jehovah's power to forgive and his mercy to help, we lose faith. Often we say that we don't feel like praying or we don't have the spirit or spirit of prayer. Brigham Young said, we should say, just say, quote, get our knees, get down there. This is Brigham Young. Knees, get down there, and then pray until we get the spirit of prayer. Ah, excellent advice. We often don't feel worthy or in the mood and make an excuse that we don't have time to pray. Martin Luther once said that he must hurry or he would have only or he would only have about 3 hours remaining for prayer. I have a friend that actually gets up at 2 or 3 in the morning and starts his prayers, and his wife gets mad at him because he's up in the middle of the night praying, but he you know, that's a really good time to pray. Everything's quiet at that time, you know, but he does it, and he loves it, and he gets himself into a spiritual mindset, which is what we all need to do, turn into a spiritual mindset, anyway, which happens when you pray and study scriptures and whatnot. And you wake up and you're in a carnal mindset, but when you spend time with God, especially in the morning, this is why missionaries do study in the morning. It's not because they can't do it at night. It's just that because they do it in the morning, they open themselves up to receiving God's word, and they open themselves up to, you know, we wake up in a temporal mindset, but God needs us to get to that spiritual mindset. Anyway, I'm going on with the text. If we are shy, incapable, or lazy, then it is time for us to practice the art of prayer. It must be learned as well as any other facet of our life. The Lord speaks of prayer as a commandment, and he that observeth not his prayers before the Lord Jehovah our Elohim in the season thereof, let him be had in remembrance before the judge of my people. Regardless of our desires and intents, we must recognize that the devil shall try every means and through every source to discourage us and hinder us from prayer, as Nephi says, for if ye would hearken unto the Spirit, which teaching is a man to pray. I'm sorry, I'm not getting this. I'm actually very tired. I got up yesterday and drove all night. So, you would know that ye must pray, for the evil spirit cometh not a man to pray, but teacheth him that he must not pray. 2 Nephi chapter 32, verse 8. Thus, every influence or power that hinders us from prayer is properly evil. There are many reasons why man neglects this important principle of prayer. He burns his eyes by hours of revelation. He burns his eyes by hours of television, movies, and magazines, or he finds a multitude of meaningless pleasures or popular sporting activities. Sometimes we hear someone say, oh, I can feel closer to God in the mountains than I can in church. But while he is in the church, he must pray But when he arrives at or in the mountains, he devotes his life to fishing and hunting and picnicking, and is nowhere near to God in his thoughts, unless he profanes his name as he stumbles over a log or loses a big fish. Thus, by external influences, we are separated from the spiritual eyes of prayer. Let's see here. I only have a couple more minutes. I want to get to a good spot, but I don't see it. Let me just continue. We're on page 7 of this pamphlet. Prayer can be a secret and sacred thing. In learning how to pray, we must not be as the hypocrites, praying in the streets and the synagogues that, quote, they may be seen of men, end quote. But we should seek God in secret, knowing, quote, thy Father or thine Elohim, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Anyway, Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. We are also told about the hypocrites who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayer, who therefore would receive the greater condemnation. However, when we pray, I'm going to have to just end it at that. Let me finish this paragraph. However, when we pray, when people do finally bend their wills to prayer, it often becomes a routine, a cliche of words, a stiff formality in which there is no earnest desire fulfilling. Rona said, if a man should pray grudgingly or without real intent, it profiteth him nothing. Prayer should be a vital force and earnest appeal to the souls. All right, I'm just going to have to end it at that. We didn't have any callers, but please, if you do like this podcast, share it in the groups, share it with your friends. I'm going to have to go at that. I'll try to get back on tomorrow, the next day, and continue more of this pamphlet, Prayer by Ogden Kraut. I am your Mormon fundamentalist friend, and this is Fundamentally Mormon. Thank you for listening. Take care, everyone. Baruch Hashem and Shalom.